continue in our series, I Will Build My Church. This is series part three. And if you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, we're going to read verse 18 and 19. Matthew 16, 18, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Lord, we love you. We ask you to move here today. We ask you to speak to every heart. God, touch you, Lord, right now, your people. Lord, speak through your servant, I pray. Lord, we want your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. This series is about discovering God's blueprint for building his church. So today I want to talk about the power of a testimony. The power of a testimony. In Acts chapter 3, verse 6 says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the New Living Translation, it says, Acts 3:6 says, but Peter said, I do not have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. So here it is, folks. What he has is testimony, okay? This is what he's given to this person. Acts 4, verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of him, and they had been with Jesus, that they had been with Jesus. So in Acts, in the New Living Translation, it's in Acts 4, 13, it says, and the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Now notice the events of that happening in this story. Here you see Peter and John were already in the habit of prayer and unity, setting the stage for everything that follows. The lame man expects to receive help with his physical needs before he even thinks about his spiritual need. Peter and John were willing to give what they have. You see, God's miraculous work in one man's life affects all the people. Think about it. When they saw them, they marveled because they saw that they were just plain men just like everybody else. They knew they weren't learned and educated because they were Galileans. So it not only affected the lame man, but it affected everybody else. Peter uses the opportunity to share a testimony. And notice that what Paul also shares his testimony in his conversation about six times throughout the book of Acts. And each time it does it a different way to relate to his audience. So what I'm talking about today is when we talk to people, whenever we have an opportunity, we should help try to give our testimony to people what God has done for us. Okay? But you don't do it the same way every time because different people relate to different things. So here you see Peter and John, they're going to the temple. They use this opportunity to give. Here, I don't have any silver and gold to help you, but I can help you. Okay? And so, you know, we have to just take that opportunity. Paul, he has his testimony, but he does it different times and to different audiences. The Bible lets us know that this man had been crippled for more than 40 years. But Jesus didn't do anything for the crippled man until his disciples reached out to him. So Jesus went to the temple also. This man's been there for 40 years. He saw him. He didn't take care of it. But he knew, God knows everything. He knew down the line his disciples would. So here the encounter coupled with prayer brings more boldness to witness. So when people saw this, it's, you know, not only the people in the temple and all the everyday people throughout the marketplace or wherever it is, but I believe throughout the church, hey, use this. Be bold when you go, you know, take that opportunity. Use your testimony. It's something you can use, and God has given you tools. So the encounter coupled with prayer brings more boldness to witness. So how do you learn to pray? You start praying. Right? Just like when you learn to walk as a child. You know, somebody's helping you to walk. And the more you walk, the better you get. And same way with prayer. So if you want to learn how to pray, start praying. How do you learn how to witness? Start witnessing. Right? Excuse me, I got a tickle. Now, a personal testimony is still the most persuasive means of communication to telling somebody about Jesus Christ. It's a unique, your testimony is unique. Your testimony is not like anybody else's. There are no others like yours. Excuse me. Oh, Jesus, help me. So it's, your testimony is personal, right? And it's easiest to understand for you. All right, and so it's probably easy in how you bring it across to others. So it's your own personal testimony, and you need to use that. So I am also an authority on your testimony. You are an authority on it, so it is difficult to argue with. Who's going to argue with your testimony? Now, you talk in Scripture, they may argue with a Scripture with you, but they can't argue your testimony. It happened to you. Oh, no, that did not. No way. Were you there? No. Well, then don't tell me it wasn't that way. You know what I'm saying? And also, people love a personal story. And a lot of times, people remember it. That's why, you know, when you have somebody come and they're speaking and they tell you where, you know, they were drug dealers and the you know, the authorities were after them and all that, we love to hear that. We're like, right? We're right in there. So people love personal stories, and they remember them. People can also can relate to it, all right, because you're just like everybody else. So people can relate to it. So it builds, what it does, it helps build a relationship, builds a bridge in that area. It is in a postmodern world, folks, is one of the most effective ways to witness, is to tell your testimony, all right? So, let's look at some different parts of a testimony. What my life was like before I met Jesus Christ. Now, you want to tell people this, but you don't want to elaborate on it, all right? You don't want to make it big in drama because you don't want to praise all that sin. Okay, so you spend you know, not a lot of time on it. You kind of hit the highlights of it. Boom, boom, boom. I was in this, I was this, and this, and, you know, God saved me from that. You don't have to get into all the gory details and all that kind of stuff. What common circumstances would an unbeliever identify with? Okay, so when you tell those things, you know, they may be in the same kind of situation, all right? And they can identify with him. And then you tell them what were your attitudes that an unbeliever would identify with. You know, I was nobody, you know, people didn't like me. I was rude and, you know, things like that. You know what I mean? Because, you know, when I was on drugs, I was a zombie and, you know, stuff like that. So, again, you're not getting into all the gory stuff. You're just hitting the highlights. Amen. What was most important to you when you were in the world? You know, a lot of people go from being a responsible person to somebody you can't rely on. You go from... you know, drugs will take, you ever see the pictures of people that are on meth? They're beautiful and nice complexions, and then after a while on meth, they look like they've been through, you know, a war. It changes them. And this is the kind of stuff, you know, again, you're just hitting the highlights. And so when you say, well, what was most important to you, the most important thing was where am I going to get my next fix? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's, you know, when you talk to people today and you talk about people stealing and this and that, it's like, you know, it's You know, I told a story how Brother Rick, I don't know how many of you know Brother Rick, he told me one time when somebody broke into our church, he said, "Pastor, I used to steal all the time. Brother Rick has three felonies." And he said, "But I would never steal from a church." So when you say that, the thing is today, what I tell people is, you know what, that drug, people do anything to get that drug. I knew a man that he got hooked. He had a beautiful family. He had a couple kids and stuff. And he started, because of drugs, started stealing from his own family and taking it out and sell it so he could get his next fix. He stole his son's letter jacket. Okay? So that was what was most important to him, was where am I going to get the next fix? And so those are the kind of things. So what substitute for God did you use to find meaning in your life? And a lot of times when people are doing these things in the world, they're looking for something to satisfy. So that is a substitute for God, all right? Would it be sports, fitness? Would it be success at work? Would it be marriage? Would it be sex, money, making money, drugs and alcohol, having fun, entertainment, popularity, hobbies? These are the kind of things you just want to let them know. Here's where I was, okay? And then you want to know how I realized I needed Christ. So that's when you start talking and give them a little more detail, all right? So what significant steps led up to your conversion? What needs did you have? What hurts or problems made you dissatisfied with the way you were living without God? All right? How did God get your attention? What motivated you? All right? These are things that you want to talk about when you want to build your testimony. All right? So, and then you say, how I committed my life to Christ. Then you spend, that's where you start spending more time talking about these things. What specifically did you do? Where did it happen? You know, I went to a church service, or I was in a tent meeting, or whatever. Somebody talked to me on the street. Got my attention. What did you say in your prayer? you know, we don't want to, you know, now I accept you, Lord, as my personal Savior. That's, most of us here, we didn't do that, okay? Most of us here, we got down and said, "God, I'm sorry for my sins. You know, I'm sick of living this life. God, I need you," okay? Talk about the difference Christ has made in your life. This is where you want to spend a lot of time. This is what you want them to see. You kind of gave them the highlights where you were. They saw you were a mess. Okay, how you met him, who talked to you, whatever. But the difference Christ made in my life. What benefits have you experienced or felt? What problems have been resolved since you gave your life to God? Give current examples of what God has done, how God has changed things. You know, maybe your family, you were split up, but God, through time after you were saved, your family's back together now. Okay? How has Jesus helped you change for the better? This is what people will need to hear. This is what they want. What they're looking for. How has Jesus helped you in your relationships since giving your life to Him? See, if you became a Christian as an adult, then use these four basic steps to compose your testimony. All right? If you became a Christian at an early age but walked away from it, use the time, the same four steps, but start with the time that you just prior to your recommitment to God. As a child, I lived for the Lord, and then I walked away from it, got myself into a mess, but thank God He got a hold of me again. All right? If you became a Christian at an early age and never strayed, use the same four steps, but point out some deep need or common problem with that others struggle with, and explain why you never had experiences. All right, so you can do different kind of preparations, but pray and ask God to give you the right words. God, I want to have this testimony that I can tell people. We all have a testimony. You just maybe never sat down and thought it through how you want to tell people, okay? And once you kind of get an idea of what you want to tell, you can learn to adapt it to different people, to different situations, all right? But we need to sit down and put your testimony, put it together, maybe type it out or write it out or whatever, and then just kind of look over it and say, this is how I want to talk to people. Folks, we need to have a testimony. We have a testimony. We need to put it together, and we need to use it. God wants you to. It is your testimony, your personal testimony. Keep it short and to the point. You know, you don't want to be there a whole eight-hour day. Okay? You know what? Hey, I got an appointment today. I'll meet you tomorrow at 8 o'clock for breakfast, and we'll finish up about, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. What? Keep it short, okay? You can hit the highlights and get through it, all right? What you want to do is you want to, when you're telling these things, you want them to say, I want that, okay? So keep it short, to the point. Avoid excessive, unnecessary detail. That's why I said we don't go into all the gory details. People don't need to hear that junk. They know you were a wreck. That's mainly what they need to know. Refer to these experiences most people have in common. Okay, the appearances that people in those areas have in common with each other, you know, refer to those things. Don't imply that that all your problems ended at conversion, okay, because they don't. Some may do, but a lot of them is you have to learn to grow in Christ. You have to learn how to be a Christian. You have to learn not to do certain things, okay? So, again, this is your new babe in Christ. So you're learning things, all right? Spend the most time on the difference Christ has made in your life. Spend the most time there. Emphasize why you received Christ, amen? Why you wanted to live for him, the benefits of living for him. Emphasize those things. Mention the benefits of being certain of your destiny when you die, okay? One of the greatest things you can say is, now I know that if I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. Amen? That is one of the things that's one of the reasons why we can sleep good at night. All right? When you know, when you're afraid, hey, if I do wrong, you know, I'm not going to make it, man, you're miserable. So, don't exaggerate or brag about pre-conversion sins. All right, that's not what they need to hear. Boy, I remember when I did this one time. That was such a no. Okay, don't make negative remarks about other religions or other people. All right, they don't need to hear that. Don't quote a lot of scripture. You know, a few verses. Okay, but you're gonna rattle people's heads. Sometimes they're gonna like. Okay, come on. We're trying to do is get them. All right. Don't answer questions that they haven't asked. Okay. There's some things we think we want everybody to know. No, if they haven't asked, don't go there. All right. The more specific you are, the more dynamic it will be. So avoid using dates and names and ages and all this kind of, it doesn't matter to them. Okay. It doesn't matter to them. And speak casually and informally. Make in a matter of fact tone. And don't dramatize or embellish your story. Don't share mystical experiences. Share on their level, not on your level. All right? And folks, don't talk down to people. Don't sound preachy. You sinner dog, you. You low life. You're lower than a snake's belly. Man, you'd be lucky if God ever wants to save you. Don't do that, all right? So use humor, okay? It reduces tension. It relaxes people. Smile. Let them know that you love them, okay? That's why you want to use your testimony. You love people. You want to see them serve God. You want to see them have a better life. And one of the things that I always... I believe this, and this is why I do. I'm here doing the things I do because I want to see people be blessed. I want to see people. I feel God has blessed me tremendously, and God can bless anybody. If he can bless me, he can bless anybody. And I want to see that in other people's lives. So choose a central theme for your testimony. All right? So here's a couple themes. Maybe you could look how, let's talk about how trusting Jesus has helped me deal with my worries and anxiety. All right? A lot of people have worries and anxiety, right? So how trusting Jesus has given me. So before I knew God, I had worries and anxiety, but when I trust Jesus, he gives me an inner peace, all right? Before I knew the Lord, I had guilt and shame, but since I know the Lord and I trust in him, I have forgiveness and a fresh start, all right? Before the Lord, I had anger and temper, but since I know the Lord, he's helped me have a patience and a love. I used to have emptiness and lack of purpose, but today, serving the Lord, I have purpose and a meaning in my life. I used to have a lot of grief, all right? But since knowing Jesus, I have comfort and joy. I used to have a very low self-esteem. But the Lord has helped me with a new energy and power for living. I used to be stressed and burnt out. Now I have a new energy and power for living. Low self-esteem, significant. I am valuable in God's eyes. I missed up here a little bit. So, you know, that's what you have to understand. Before the Lord, I thought I was nothing, and the devil beat me down and told me I wasn't worth anything, I was no good. But now the Lord has given me this understanding that I'm valuable to him, and that helps me. I used to have a lot of poor health, amen, but now the Lord has healed me and given me strength to go on. I had a lot of disappointments before I knew the Lord, but the Lord has now helped me trust in God, and I have plans for my life. I used to have a lot of insecurities before I knew God, and now I have a confidence and a sense of security. I had a lot of regrets, and now I have a second chance at life. I used to have a lot of discontentment and frantic activity, but there's contentment and peace now since knowing Jesus. Oh, I had a lot of fears before I knew the Lord, but now I have faith to face my fears. I know that God is going to keep me, amen? Oh, there used to be a lot of loneliness in my life, but today, thank God, I have assurance that God is always with me, amen? I used to have a lack of emotional support, amen? But now the church family's there, and I love going to church, and I feel a lot of support from the church. Oh, I used to have addictions and all kinds of habits, but now I have freedom and the power to change. Used to be self-centered, but the Lord has helped me to learn to love for other people. Amen. Because of him, he is love. Now I can love. Amen. I had a lot of despair. I used to have a lot of depression, but today I have a hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. Cheap thrills. Used to do all kinds of stuff, but now have a real and a lasting happiness. Oh, I used to be bored with my life, but now with God, every day is an adventure. Amen. I had a lot of fear of death. Amen. But now I have an assurance that if I do die, I'm going to go to heaven. Amen. Fasting, I used to have feeling something was missing all the time in my life, but now the Lord has given me that sense of fulfillment. Used to be very, very bitter. Had a lot of resentment, but serving the Lord, the ability to be free from my past. Pain of rejection. God, now I have God's unconditional love. Used to have problems in my marriage, but now I have a positive changes in my life and in my marriage. Used to have a lot of financial problems, but the Lord has given me wisdom in that area. Now I have positive changes in my finances, and God has blessed me when I learned to give to him. Used to have business problems, but the Lord has helped me when I apply a lot of biblical principles. Now I have positive changes in my business. You see, folks, there's a lot of themes that you can have in your testimony. Folks, remember that you have more than one testimony. Okay? Remember that. God allows us to have many experiences in our lives so we can relate to others in similar situations that those people that need God. So that's why I say you don't use the same one in every one. See, you look at what situation they're in and say, I used to be that. And I believe that God a lot of times brings us in contact with these people because he knows we have a testimony that can help them. Praise the Lord. So, see, there's different situations that will require different testimonies. And choose the testimony that's best matches your listener. And realize you can tell about how others' lives have been changed also. I just told you, Brother Rick, you know, how he made that statement. Because that's his testimony. I don't have that testimony, but he does. So you see, folks, we can use this. And he doesn't mind me telling that. I've talked to him about it. He doesn't mind me telling it. But we can use other people's testimonies. Maybe you can even leave a name out. But say, I know somebody that did this. Okay? The Bible doesn't tell us to share our faith. All right? but to share our hope. Share our hope. Faith is what you believe. Hope is the benefit of what you believe. Share your hope. In Matthew 4, verse 19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. All right? Following and fishing go together. We are to be more of a matchmaker and not as much of a salesman. All right? We are to be fishermen, not hunters. Okay? There's a difference. When you go hunting, you're aggressive. When you're fishing, you're trying to lure something. You're more gentle. All right? You throw that line out. I'm not the greatest fisherman. I've probably only caught a few bluegill in my life. And things are everywhere. You go somewhere, and there's bluegill everywhere. All right? You want to get a bass, and there's a bluegill grabs your line. Okay? Didn't do a lot of it when I was younger, so it's not necessary for me. But some people love that. You know, go out on a fishing bank, and they'll sit there for hours. But when you go hunting, you're trudging through the woods, or you're up in a tree stand, or whatever it is. And, you know, when I was young, I was probably, 19 years old, 20 years old, and this guy talked me into going coon hunting with him. And them guys are out of their minds. Anybody ever coon hunt? You coon, huh? They're crazy. You like it? I don't believe you. He trudged me through swamps and briar patches and everything else. I'm like, for a crazy coon? Let the dogs run it. And I'll take a weed eater through there and get to them. But man, I'll tell you what, I said, I'll never go again. It was crazy. It was at night. You don't know what you're running into. You come out, man, you look a mess. But they're aggressive. But you don't do that when you're on a fishing bank. You throw it out there. And, you know, you might pull up, you know how they tip them poles like this, you know, all that kind of stuff. That you're gentle. You're trying to lure that fish to take the bite. When you're hunting, it's based on confrontation. But when you're fishing, it's based on attraction. You get the lure. And somebody says, oh, man, I'm using this lure. And every time, the bass swallow it. Oh, really? Where can I get one? Okay? When you're hunting, you go out there and you shoot them. But when you're fishing, you get them to nibble on the bait. If you ever fished, you know, you feel them. They're playing with my line. You see that pole doing this. And you're just waiting for it to go, right? When you're hunting, you use one size fits all. This bull will take them all down. All right? But when you're fishing, it allows you to try different lures, different testimonies. Okay? When you're hunting, you take your best shot, and then the hunt is over. But when you're fishing, it requires give and take to give and take. You want them to take their line and take off with it. Then you start reeling them in once they've bit on it. When you're hunting, you scares the animal away if you miss. But when you're fishing, you get more than one chance. When you're hunting, the animal has no choice, okay? But the fish gets the choice. See, that's why you don't go out there and you want to beat them over the head with Acts 2:38. You're not hunting, okay? You're fishing. You want to keep putting it out there. Maybe not the first time when you talk to them, but maybe it's the second time, okay? But you're still leaving it out there for them to nibble on it, all right? So they get another chance, all right? But when you're hunting, the animal, like I said, has no choice. The fish gets a choice. When you're hunting, most must be a skilled shot, okay? You got to know where to hit them because you can hit them and injure them, and they're just going to run away, and they may die weeks later, or they may just live through it. But when you're fishing, anyone can put bait in the water, okay? So there's no sense of going out there hunting with a gun if you can't shoot the broadside of a barn, okay? I know somebody one time went hunting, and this is why I'm not a great, I don't care to get out in the woods because some people are crazy. They are out there for hours and hours and hours. And finally, when they got done, they're like, well, at least I'm going to unload my gun. Pow, 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 pow. Shot all their bullets out of their gun. It's crazy. Okay? You must be skilled. All right? You have to be skilled. So, but anybody can put a pole in the water, folks. I just saw just yesterday or today or whatever it was, I saw this little kid had a nice pond bait on the bank of it and standing there with his pole, and he's doing his little nibble, and all of a sudden he pulled in this big, long bass about this long. Beautiful. He was so proud. When he held it up, it was almost as tall as he was. But see, anybody can put a bait in the water. You don't have to be skilled at it. So the three keys to spiritual fishing is identify your fishing pond. All right? What is your fishing pond? All right, in Acts 1, verse 8, the fishing pond is Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the world. All right, Acts 1, today is Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, every country. And then when you're Acts 1 for yourself, is your family, your relatives, your friends, and acquaintances. That's your fishing pond. Then you got to learn about the kind of fish in your pond. When you hear the missionaries talk, that's why we get so interested. When the missionaries come here and they go to these different countries, they just can't do anything they want there. They have to try to fit in. Right? So, you know, if you go out on the ocean, you have to fish different than you do if you're in a pond. Or if you're in a river, there's different ways to fish. In a river, the water's flowing all the time. So your line's gonna go down. You gotta learn how to do these kind of things. There's different ways. You see what I'm saying? You have to learn what kind of fish are there, and there's different baits that you use. And so when we are in certain areas, folks, we have to do certain things differently. Remember, fish get hungry at different times. Okay? There are certain times. When you're a fisherman, you know these things. You know, hey, the trout bite at this certain time. This is when they really like. They like when the sun's going down. I don't know. I'm just making this up, okay? When the sun's going down at a certain time and you see the mosquitoes hovering, that's when they bite. See, the thing about me is mosquitoes are always hovering. So me and outside world, we don't get along real good. I mean, I have to stand there with a full body net or they'll carry me away. Here goes Brother Roberts. Okay? That's just how it is. I mean, some of these people, they know this stuff. They know when bass bite. They know when catfish bite. Okay? They're all different. All right? You know, I don't know. Whatever. You just got to know it. Okay? So fish get hungry at different times, folks. So sometimes when you're talking to somebody, it may not be the time. So you just kind of touch, you know, put a few hints in there, let it ride, and wait for, and then you keep praying for that person. Say, God, deal with their heart, and Lord, help me to meet them at a time. And you know, also you've heard me say it many times. There's certain windows of opportunity, and that's when you got to be ready. Put your bait in the line. It is impossible, folks, hear me today. It is impossible to build an apostolic church without your testimony. That's why God saved you. All right? We have to use our testimony. God saved you for a reason, to use your testimony. In Acts 4:20, listen, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You can only tell what you know. All right? When you go out here, you know, people go to court because they've been called as a witness. You're going there to give your testimony of the account you saw. And you better not lie because you're on stand. You swore to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. The New Living Translation says, we cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. All right, you don't have to be a theologian. Just be a Christian. So many people will not talk about things because they're afraid. Oh, I don't know all the scriptures. You don't have to. And let me tell you something. Many of us, if I ask the question, how many have done this? But many times when we've talked to somebody and we allow God to take over, when you get done and you walk away, you're like, where did that come from? The Spirit kicked in. You know, you don't have to say, you know, start talking to somebody, oh, hold on a minute. And you go over here in the corner and you get over here and you say, oh, Heavenly Father, help me right now. Give me the words. You don't have to do that. You can say in your head, God, right now, just speak through me. Lord, I want to see you change this person. You know, while you're talking there, maybe they're talking, you get in your mind, you can say, Lord, speak right now. Lord, just give me the words to say. Here's the vessel. This is the vessel. Use me. So you don't have to be a theologian. Just be a Christian. John 9:25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. What a sin, folks, condemn man's pardon and not deliver it. Think about it. If somebody was going to be executed and you had the pardon in your hand and you never handed it to the proper people, what a sin. And that's how it is, folks, when we don't do our job in talking to somebody. You have a pardon for them. You need to give it to them. Amen? So why use testimonies? Because you are simply sharing with others about your God, Jesus Christ, and the influence that your God has had on your life. That's all you're doing. You're sharing with others what God has done, how God has changed you, what a difference God has made in your life. The psalmist reflects this experience when he says in Psalm 71, verse 15, I will tell everything about your righteousness. All day long I will proclaim your saving power, though I am not skilled with words. He said, I'm not skilled with words, but I'm going to tell what God has done for me. Psalm 66, verse 16, come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. See, the true Christian disciple want to tell others about God. Amen? 1 Peter 3, 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. This scripture is telling you, folks, be prepared. Always be prepared to talk to somebody about God. Amen? A prepared and practiced testimony is a powerful tool for sharing your faith, what you believe. I believe if I live this life, that I'll make it to heaven. I believe if I live this life, that God will change me and make me a better person. That's why we live it, right? So tell other people. Amen? Teach your children. You know, this just blows my mind how some people say, well, I want them to make their decision. Really? You've made a lot of choices in their life because you think it's the right thing to do. What are the most important thing you should make is, I'm going to teach them what I believe is going to get me to heaven. See, people today tend to be more open and authentic, more open to authentic and personal stories of your testimony than the mere teaching of ideas about faith. So here's the thing. A lot of, you know, that's why we say, you want to come to church with me? Oh, I witnessed to somebody today. Did you witness to him? No, you didn't. See, what you're doing is you're discrediting your testimony, thinking that I can't do it myself, but I'll just take them to church and it'll be preached to. I'm telling you, your testimony is going to be more effective on them than coming sitting here at first. They need to see that what they have when they come here will change them and make them what like what you are. See, folks, that's why it's so important to hear the Word of God every day or every chance you get, amen, and let it be effective in your life so that your testimony can make a difference in somebody else's life. So you give your testimony in your everyday living. Keep that in mind, in your everyday living. So, you know, you don't want to be that person that hates your neighbor and you guys are always throwing things over each other's fence and all this kind of stuff. And, you're spray painting on the side of their house and, you know, you guys just, I mean, do all this ugly stuff. And then hope that someday he'll walk into the church. Because your testimony every day to them has been, I can't stand this person. Sometimes you might share it with an individual, and it's good to have your testimony prepared for an opportunity that may come up in conversation. And when you want to share your testimony with someone, folks, a friend, when you're out with coffee, you know, with them or at work with them or maybe a relative, you want to share that testimony every opportunity you get. Amen. It's yours. Work it. Use it. Amen. And sometimes we might be tempted to think that our story isn't exciting enough. Listen, God thinks it is, or he wouldn't let you come in contact with certain people. Okay? God's bringing you in contact because he thinks you can use your testimony. You got a great testimony. Don't resent your testimony. Amen. You see, there's some people that, you know, some people that are raised in church, you know, think, well, I don't have that dramatic testimony like this person who God, you know, brought them off the streets. You got a testimony that God kept you. Amen. You were blessed, amen, to be, and you didn't have to experience all that garbage. Amen. And you need to tell that person, you want to live for God, and you want to bring your kids up in this, and amen, and let them have the same testimony that I have. Praise the Lord. You got a God that's able to keep you. But God has chosen to work in your life in a particular way for a particular reason. Okay? So remember, you are testifying to his work, and that is something to be celebrated. Amen? That's something to be. Testimonies about your way of coming to God is powerful. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always. Be ready always. So if we can see evangelism as part of our lives, then we will have little problem always being ready. You have to see it. I have to be an evangelist. You have to realize that every day I have to get up. I have to be an evangelist today. Each of us, folks, need to make deep, basic commitments in our lives to do what the Lord wants. It's what God wants, folks. The more our lives live out his commands, the better our lives are. In Psalms 91, verse 11, 19, verse 11 says, moreover, by them, by what? What do they mean by them? God's word. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, what? God's word, there is great reward. So when you keep his words, his God's words, there's great rewards. See, the enemy, he doesn't want you to follow this. He doesn't want you to understand God's what the scripture says. Moreover, by them, God's word, is thy servants warned, and in keeping of them, God's word, there is great reward. He'll whisper to you, he'll say the opposite. He would whisper all sorts of excuses trying to have you believe there's no reward, that it's not your gift, all right, that God made you different. Or you can do it later. Or I don't know what people will say if I tell them my testimony or if I try to talk to them about God. Folks, we have no option. God wants us to do these things. And when the Jews were saved, they seemed to ignore the needs of the wider world. God saved the Jews in their particular location. It was a kind of a the way they traveling for goods and all that kind of stuff. They were strategically stationed in a great place, and God wanted to use them to save the whole world, but they didn't want to do it. All right? So They didn't want to reach the world. And the Lord sent persecution. And what it ended up doing was driving them out of Jerusalem and those areas. Did they evangelize? Yes. Because they were drove out. And great things happened to, but it came at a cost. When they left because of persecution, they lost their homes and they lost their normal way of living and their lives. All these kind of things. Normal. So don't make God have to bring you to a place to where he's going to get you to do his will. Do it. Normal is to prioritize evangelism. So they lost their normal way of living and their homes and all this kind of stuff. And then they began to evangelize. It should be your normal way of living is to prioritize evangelism. Praise the Lord. It is easy to think of our normal lives going back for more at the buffet of watching your shows and grooming your yards and enjoying your families and working your jobs and all this. Folks, you can go do all that kind of stuff and because I want my normal way of living. Or you could say, the normal way for me to live is going to be evangelism. Right? None of these things are wrong in themselves. The problem is that if our priorities are not right, they can be wrong. In 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord and God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. From this verse, what is it that must stand as a priority? See, the word always reveals the answer. We must always be ready to tell others about Jesus Christ. Because of this priority of evangelism, let me suggest, folks, a different way to look at normal life. All of the Lord's commands are looked as normal. That's how we have to live. Whatever God tells me to do, that's got to be the normal way for me. Everything else is extra. His commands are the context which I carry out my life. How does the Lord tell us how to approach life here? He simply tells us to always be ready to give an account. In other words, we need to be ready in our hearts each day to rightly prepare ourselves for his opportunity that the Lord sends our way. And we might do it in prayer like this. Lord, this is a new day. I'm getting up here today. Lord, I want you, your kingdom, to come on earth as it is in heaven. You want to bring your blessings to others. I want to take my part. I don't know what you might have for me today, but I am willing. God, and I ask that you give me wisdom and discern the opportunities and have compassion to care for the lost and knowledge of what to say. Ask God those things. Lord, give me the words to say. Use me. This is how a person makes himself ready for the opportunities that the Lord gives. And as you regularly prepare yourselves through prayer like this, you will begin to think about the people God brings into your lives. God, help me to look at everybody different. God, you might think of someone at work or neighbor or church. The Lord is prodding to call you to have lunch with them. And if while you are praying that God brings somebody to your mind, pray for that particular person and ask them, God, can you help me to show them your love? Folks, evangelism primarily is a way of life rather than something that we do. Make it a part of life. We strategically position ourselves so that God can use us. We do have different gifts, interests, and opportunities. The student has such a different life from the mother of young children. See, we're all different. But in every Christian life, evangelism is God working with us, with you. And he does not send you out alone. He goes with you. Amen.